RSN 927's Talking Horses with Joe McKinnon.
And a terrific day's racing it was in Queensland yesterday. The Stradbroke, JJ Atkins, the Group 1s. That's the focus of racing around Australia yesterday, and it'll probably be the focus of our chat with Joe McKinnon this morning. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Warren. How are you on this winter's morning?
Yeah, going well. We're slowly emerging from lockdown here in Victoria. Fingers crossed we can continue along that path. It's a lot more, I think, accessible in different parts of Australia, but we just have to work through it the way things are down here. Fortunately, racing has been a constant for all of us, and what a terrific day's racing at Eagle Farm yesterday.
Oh, it was fantastic, wasn't it, in the lovely winter sunshine up there in Brisbane. Some great racing throughout the day, highlighted by the Group 1 winning performance of Tefane in the Stradbroke Handicap. What a fortuitous move it was to withdraw her from the Magic Millions National Broodmare sale and reserve her for a continuation of her racing career, and it's proven to be a masterstroke for all connections, hasn't it?
It has, and just having a chat to Mike Moroney, he made a valid point that she's going to be a valuable broodmare at some stage in the future, and obviously there are some risks associated with racing on, and when you see some of the figures through the broodmare sale, you might have thought you wanted that money in the bank. But ultimately, you know, when she does go through a broodmare sale, she's going to realise a very high sum.
Yeah, and she's still only a five-year-old mare, rising six, obviously, so I'm sure they'll at least get one more good season out of her before potentially sending her to stud or selling her or whatever they decide to do. But it was a dominant performance yesterday against a very good field.
Absolutely. And just getting some insight from Mike Moroney about the preparation Craig Williams puts in. And a lot of the focus in recent times has been on the dominance in Victoria here of Jamie Carr. And then you realise what depth we have in our riding ranks. And Jamie Carr's right up there with the best of them, obviously. But Craig's work yesterday and his treble at Eagle Farm and just the detail of work that he put in being outlined by Mike Moroney on the ride on Tefane just goes to show you the level of preparation the elite athletes go to.
Craig Williams, he's one of the best, isn't he? And that's why he works so hard, always has a great ethic. And yesterday was his second win in the Stradbroke Handicap. So it's a race he's established a very good record in.
Absolutely. And I think Ron Duffacy, your and my good friend, was on course for Sky Racing yesterday, and he posted a comment on social media, just the amount of work Craig was doing on and off the track. We see it down here in Victoria, but no doubt he had quite a bit of interaction with some fans, etc., which just makes a special day for those fortunate enough to just have some passing association with Craig, be it a spectator with a pair of goggles or just a signed piece of merchandise, etc. But Craig definitely goes that extra yard to be an ambassador for racing.
Yeah, and it's been interesting too that he's decided, and you can't blame him, to spend the latter part of the racing season, which shortly comes to a conclusion, in Queensland. He's not going to be able to peg back at the lead that Jamie Carr has in the Melbourne Premiership, so he's decided to stay in Brisbane and try and rack up a couple of feature race wins there. So that's proven to be a great decision by Craig.
Yeah, Joe, I think you're fortunate to be out of Melbourne at the moment. Anybody who was fortunate enough to be in somewhere like Queensland and didn't have to do any quarantine, etc., I don't think you'd be rushing back to Melbourne unless you had to.
No, absolutely not. It's been a very challenging 12 months or so, hasn't it, for Victorian and in particular Melbourne residents, and especially I'm sure those that own and race horses all over Australia. People such as Rupert Lee, who is our guest this morning on Talking Horses. How are you, Rupert?
Yeah, no, great. Yeah, no, feeling good this morning, Joe. Thank you.
Where do we find you this morning? Were you there in Queensland to witness the win of the mare?
Yes, you had me rushing. I was having a nice walk on the Gold Coast beach in the sunshine, just to rub it in. We came up here about 3 weeks ago to the broodmare sales, and when I heard that Melbourne's going to be locked down, we thought we might as well stay up here and hopefully watch Tefane and Wild Planet run in the Stradbroke, because, as you know, last year in the All-Made Stakes, we were in lockdown. We couldn't see a win up there, so we thought, let's just stay here and keep our fingers crossed we can get in the race, and the rest is history.
And the move to withdraw her from the National Broodmare sale is very well documented now. It was a decision that proved worthwhile yesterday with what she did in the Stradbroke Handicap. explain to our listeners, if you can, Rupert, what transpired in the lead-up and during the sales and what sat behind that decision to not put her through the ring?
Well, we've been contacted by Magic Millions and a couple of the other major studs to consider putting in the sale. They thought she'd be the sale topper, and with her profile, particularly with the fact she'd won a Group 1 and being so closely related to Funstar and Youngstar, I mean, she had a very strong page. They thought it would have been the best opportunity because of the strong market conditions. So we thought we'd give it a go, and we put it then to all the owners, and she was, registered to be there, and she was up on the coast. And it's only about a week out that, I started to make real contact with all the owners. They're all friends of mine, by the way. They're not people that I don't know, and a lot of them haven't had a good horse to race. And, it wasn't about the money. It was about trying to win another Group 1 and enjoying the journey that she's giving everyone. So at the end of the day, the majority of the people racing her wanted to continue racing. And, as you know, that's what you do in good partnerships. You go with the majority. And as it's turned out now, it's the right call. And well done to all those who persisted in wanting to see her keep racing.
So it's not the first time either that she's been withdrawn from the sale, reading back through her history before today's program. She was bred and reared by Curramore Studs Gordon Cunningham and was actually, as a yearling, entered for the New Zealand sales back in 2017, but was withdrawn then as well after doing all her early education at Sir Mike Moroney's Matter Matter property. She won a trial at Tatiko, and they decided that they wanted to race her and spread her amongst owners like yourself. And again, she didn't go through a sales ring.
Yeah, well, she doesn't like a sale, does she? She's telling you that. So as it's turned out, it's been the best outcome for all. And the good thing is, Mike's, as you know, very well connected in New Zealand, and they had big raps on the filly when she was over there. And fortunately enough, we were the first port of call, and I was able to ring group of friends, and I've always said before that I wouldn't have the number of horses I had unless I had these great group of friends around me and to support the decisions we make. So big thank you to all those who continue to support Mike and myself and building up our little network of horses.
She is 5, rising 6. There's still a bit of mileage there before she ideally needs to go to the paddock to become a brood mare. So what would be the likely plan? I know the dust has yet to settle on yesterday, but what are you thinking around the spring for her at this stage?
Well, now that she's won and she's told us yesterday she still wants to be a racehorse in no uncertain terms, we don't want to give her a lot of racing. I don't think that's what breeders really want. They like quality mares without a 30 or 40 race start sort of background. So she'll have one more start. If she comes out of this race well, she'll start in that race next or in 2 weeks' time at Eagle Farm, and then we'll put her out. And I know Mike's always been very keen to get her out to a bit of distance, because if you look at her related mares that she's closely bred to, which is Youngstar and Funstar, I mean, they're horses which have got out to a mile and plus. So it would be great to get her out to a mile and then see whether or not they could even stretch her out to a 2,000-metre race. Now, she's run over 1,400, a strong 1,400, so I wouldn't put a past her if she could get out to 2,000 metres and maybe have a crack at the Cox Plate with her.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. And in other news, Rupert, recently for you, Simon Vivian, former head of Inglis in Melbourne, has joined your bloodstock team to assist as a consultant. Can you just explain a bit about that appointment?
Yeah, look, we've started to build up a nice brood, brood bear band of horses, mares, and through regular contact with a very good friend of mine, Rick Jamison, and I don't think we need to say much about Rick. We all know how good a breeder he is. He's one of the best in the country, and he had a good look at the portfolio I had, and he wasn't that happy. He thought that if I'm going to do it, I've had to do it properly. And so he basically said, unless you can breed, foals or yearlings that can go through the Magic Millions, Premier, and the Easter sales, then I'm wasting my time and wasting my money. So the fact that Simon retired from William Inglis, Rick thought he would be the great fit for my business to help it probably regenerate the right sort of mares that we need. And you couldn't get a better person. I've spent a lot of time with Simon over the last month or two, and we've already made a lot of inroads into what we've got to be doing. And that's why I came up to the broodmare sales up here in the Gold Coast 3 weeks ago. So I know I'm in good hands. I know he comes, you know, with such a great reputation. And not only that, he's just a very, very good person to work with. And something I've always done my whole life is that if you're going to be any good at what you do, you need to have good people around you. And that is the reason I think we've had a bit of success, because it's not what I do, it's what the people around me do, and to give you all the right advice. And we couldn't be in better hands than having someone like Simon Vivian. Then you've got Rick Anderson, and then you've also got Philip Campbell up at Blue Gum, who has done an outstanding job for us, not just in identifying good mares, but his preparation is second to none when they go to the sale. So hopefully we'll get it right, and we'll make it a more viable business than what it has been.
And how did you fare during the sales there of the mares? Did you manage to get any? The market was so red hot.
It was hot, Joe. Incredibly hot. So, you know, for every one we bid on, every 10 we bid on, we missed 9 of them. So we secured a couple. We actually sold Chica Ferrete, which, as you saw, she went for 900,000, which was well over what we thought we'd get for her. So we're able to secure a couple of good mares that Rick and Simon identified, and so they'll be heading down to Gilguy, and I think one's going to Doubtland, and I think one's going to Olay Kirk. So it's a good blend, and as I said, I couldn't be happier having those sort of people behind the business.
Okay, and I saw a post during the week, someone put up a picture of Brutal, who now stands at Newgate Farm. How's he settling into duties there?
Fantastic. We were actually up there about 3 months ago having a look at the horses up in the Hunter with Peter Orton, and he's just an outstanding individual. And I don't know if you've seen the footage of John Hawkes talking about Brutal, but John just won't have it that he won't make it as a stand-in. He just said there was every box that he ticked as a stand-in. Now, when you're looking at, you know, his presence, his competitive nature, his just gentle nature. You know, he was just a well-behaved colt, always was, never gave John any grief. He just felt that, you know, if he doesn't make it, then he's a very bad judge. And he was being sincerely honest and actually said, whatever you do, Rupert, do not sell down any of your shareholding in the horse. Keep him, because I think if anyone's going to make it, Brutal will.
And, of course, the Alabama Express is another horse that raced in your colours that's been retired to stud, and he's on the Yulong roster, the son of Redouk's Choice. How's he settling into his duties there?
Fantastic. I mean, his, you know, strike rate, you know, getting mares in the foal was absolutely right up there. I think it was the high 80s or early 90%, so he couldn't have started his career better. And, you know, fortunately, he's gone to such a great stud, because I think we all know that Mr. Yang has bought a large number of high-quality mares as he was doing again on the Gold Coast only 3 weeks ago. So, if anything, he and Grant will get every opportunity to make it to stand-ins, particularly with the support that Mr. Yang is giving both horses. And so it's quite exciting. And then you put Exceedance up at Binary, who was let down into one of the most magnificent stand-ins that you'll ever want to see.
Does it make you proud to have those horses now standing at stud in Australia with the potential to make a long-term impact on race horses in this country?
Yeah, it just adds another dimension to what, you know, set out to do, and it's always my intention to try to get those young colts and have your own stand-in band. So, you know, we've been fortunate, but once again, they've been fortunate because of the right people you've got around you, like the John Hawkses and the Mike Moroneys and Paul Moroneys, and to help select those young colts, because it's just not a matter of getting the right sort of colts, it's the ability to train them and maintain them as colts, because as we know, once you get to 3 or 4, they have other ideas in their head, and it's very, very hard to retain them as colts. So you get trainers like John and Mike who have got that ability. So once again, we've been very, very lucky to get such a good band of horses. Now, we all know that it's very hard to get a stand-in that's going to make it, but out of that group of six, you'd like to think that one or two of them will make it. So fingers crossed. And then, as I said, it's just another dimension to what we've been trying to do out there and enjoy a different journey other than just racing horses.
Yeah. And when do you return back to the fold in Melbourne? I'm sure you're probably a little reluctant given what's been happening there, but how much longer will you be able to enjoy the Queensland sunshine?
No, we're actually heading back today because it was one of those impromptu, we'll stay up here, so we weren't that well organised to be here for 3 weeks. So we'll head back today and then hopefully our borders will open and we'll be able to get back up here in a couple of weeks' time and watch Defano run in another Group 1. So fingers crossed. Let's hope so for all, not just our sake, but all Victorians, that they can start living a normal life and get back to work again and, as I said, enjoy something that they've been missing for well over 12 months.
Hear, hear. Thanks for joining us this morning, Rupert. Enjoy those last couple of hours of sun in Queensland.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Thanks for having me on. Bye.
That's Rupert Lee there, of course, one of the owners of Tafane, giving us the backstory, Warren, of the decision there to withdraw her from the sale. And an interesting update on all the various stallions that Rupert raced that are now a stud in Australia.
Yeah, and he's developing his broodmare band to be able to take advantage of those stallions. And one thing that resonated with me there, Joe, was a recurring theme, a great chat with Gareth Hall and Dean Lester that went to air during the week, and Dino talking about the influence of Jerry Ryan on his life, and the success of Jerry is quite often put down to, and Dino said one of the key strategies was just to surround yourself with good people, and the same strategy has been adopted by Rupert Lee, and I suppose they're two of our most successful business people in different fields that are heavily involved in horse racing. So just a recurring theme there resonated with me in terms of, you know, Rupert's strategy of it's not all me, it's just the people I surround myself with and making those right business decisions.
One of those great Bart Cummings lines I recall, what is it, surround yourself with the best and your horse is in the worst company.
And Tafane taking out, obviously, the feature yesterday, the Stradbroke, but not the only Group 1 at Eagle Farm yesterday. Joe, what were your highlights of the day there?
Well, I think Zaki, again, that horse is just an absolute freak, isn't he? It was really interesting to watch the interview of Annabelle Neesham after the race. I think her breath was taken away, as many probably experienced the same feeling with the dominance of his performance in the Q22 yesterday, one of the features, albeit not a Group 1, but one of the group features worth a lot of prize money. She can't wait now for the Cox Plate and wishes it was on in a couple of weeks. But wow, what a horse he's shaping to be, one of the best in the country.
Tantalising to think that he can have a little bit of a break and come back for the spring. I don't know how much more he can improve, but he's certainly been on an upward spiral with Annabelle. And look, the Doomed Cup win was just devastating. And you know, there was a lot to like about what he did yesterday. I think sometimes we can have too higher expectations in terms of he's, you know, going to win like might and power again, so to speak. But yeah, he's a really exciting prospect and no doubt one of the absolute headlines looking towards the spring.
No question about that. And, of course, the other Group 1 feature was the JJ Atkins Stakes for the two-year-olds. And it capped off what's been a huge week for the international superstar racehorse and now stallion. Frankly, had the Epsom Derby winner a week ago and then here in Australia picking up a Group 1 feature for the two-year-olds through the deeds of the Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott-trained Converge.
You're going to have a chat to Adrian later this hour. What a terrific win it was. He was the eye catcher in the sires, but he was able to perhaps settle that a little bit closer, and he looked devastating yesterday. So I don't think he's the biggest horse going around, Joe, but he's certainly got a motor, and he's an exciting prospect for the spring. Be interested to know what the plans might be for him, hopefully having a chat to Adrian sometime later this hour.
Yeah, I look forward to hearing what Adrian's got to say about the horse. Which was a homebred for his father, Tony Bott. Warren, managed by Evergreen Rich. Converge is the first foal of the Shamadile mare, conversely, who failed to win in 5 starts in Ireland.
He'll be a popular boy at home with the family, Adrian. Interesting, we were chatting to Rupert Lee and mentioning that Rick Jamieson's part of the team. And Cable Bay with his first stakes winner in Australia yesterday with Uncommon James taking out the first at Eagle Farm. So hopefully more to come for Cable Bay. I know Rick was heavily involved in identifying Cable Bay as a stallion suited to coming out here, Joe.
He's a beautiful-looking horse, Cable Bay, isn't he? And, yeah, he's getting some handy types of horses. So that's great to see him get on the board yesterday with Uncommon James winning the opening race. The Oxlade Stakes over 1,200 metres, a listed affair at Eagle Farm. He's a colt out of the Jetspur mare Pickabee and is trained by Steve O'Day.
Ayrton Joe, we're not going to be talking about him from a breeding perspective down the track. He's a gelding, but out to the 1,600 metres yesterday. What did you make of him?
He's a star too, isn't he, Ayrton? He is now on target for a race like the $7.5 million Golden Eagle after winning yesterday's Group 3 Gunsin Classic over 1,600 metres.
Really smart time too. A terrific ride by James McDonald. I've got a feeling he might be the horse that isn't that difficult to ride to some extent. Jamie Carr getting on so well with him and James McDonald. Just terrific ride yesterday from that inside draw, Joe, just making sure he got the clear air when he needed it.
Yeah, no, he's got it all before him, hasn't he, Ayrton? A horse that was passed in at the New Zealand sales in 2019, failing to meet his reserve of just $40,000. So those that might have had the chance to get him at the 40K probably really regretting that decision now.
There's a number of them, Joe. Great to chat, as always. Plenty of highlights from Eagle Farm yesterday and looking forward to chatting again next week.
Thanks, Warren.
Joe McKinnon there, talking horses. It's 25-9 on RSN 927.